welcome you here in the service tonight, and those joining us on live stream to the evening service here at Volusia County Baptist Church. Let's take our hymn books and stand as we turn to hymn number 446. We have a story to tell to the nations. Hymn number 446.
We have a story to tell to the nations. Let's turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy. A story of peace and light. A story of peace and light. The darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And bright red kingdoms shall come to the kingdom of love and light. We must hope to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord. A song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. And shatter the spear and sword. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come forward, the kingdom of love and light.
On that fourth verse now.
We the Savior to show to the nation, to the path of sorrow and drought, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God, might come to the truth of God. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
It is a good evening. It's a wonderful evening. Glad to see you here tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Lou Sukup, if you would please, sir, be kind enough to come and lead us in prayer as we begin our service. I should have given you a heads up, but we sometimes think, well, Brother Lou just doesn't come to church on Sunday mornings, I guess. But most of us know better. He is faithfully serving down there with our kids, and I'm just going to tell you, he does a great job. My kids just love what he does. They can always tell you what Brother Lou has taught on or talked about. So it's an encouragement to my heart, and I appreciate his ministry. And if you will, sir, pray for us. Get us started tonight, sir.
I do enjoy the kids. We have a great group of highly intelligent kids. They can defeat me easily. Our Father, again, we just thank you that you took the time to think of each of us and offer salvation for those of us that would believe. We pray for our service and all that we do, that one day we might hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." That we might bless this church, that we may be a light in a world that's darkening around us. We pray for our country and for the changes that we hope will take place, that you will be put back in charge. And we'll honor you for it. Bless the service and all that takes place. We'll thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15 this morning how that the wonderful truth is that Jesus Christ is coming back in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, the last trump. And the dead shall rise and be raised incorruptible. And to that we say amen, and to that we say hallelujah. So when the choir sings this song, we're just going to have a lot of hallelujahs and a lot of amens in here. So just get ready, put your seatbelt on, and we're happy about going home one day. God bless you.
We shall rise.
Hallelujah.
We shall rise.
Amen.
Yes. My goodness. We got to enjoy that in practice a few times because that's a kind of a complex song. And they were hammering it out a little bit, and then the choir would hammer it out a little bit. And so we got that several times, and that, I'm not even going to try it, but all those little fills right there at the end, all that. Boy, that's a tough one. But, man, it came together. Thank the Lord. That's a great truth and a good song. And, man, glad to have it. What a good night to hear it. There are lots of things to get to, but before we do, we want to make sure we recognize any guests that we have this evening. I got to meet a couple of folks before the service started. Jared and Kate, I didn't even get your last names, Jared and Kate. Forgive me.
Lefebvre.
Okay, all righty. Well, wonderful. Just right here in Orange City, came and tried us out. We're so glad that you came. Appreciate y'all being here tonight. Anybody else that I don't want to overlook anyone, when somebody didn't get to meet you beforehand, any other guests that we have tonight, so glad to have every one of you. We do have some things we want to get to as far as announcements. A lot of these are in the bulletins, so pay attention to what's in your bulletins to keep up to date. Ladies Bible study is a week from tomorrow night. This is the curriculum that Miss Hope will be teaching from. It's called Choices. Miss Terry Chapel from out there at West Coast Baptist College and or Lancaster Baptist Church. I don't remember the name. I think that's right. But anyway, Jenny has seen this and been through it. She said it's wonderful material. I believe Miss Hope might have used it before as well. But you're going to want to be involved in that. That's a week from tomorrow night. Refreshments provided. Super Seniors, a week from Friday as well. Sweetheart Retreat. Now, we're down to it. I need registrations to get in. Some of you, you said you're going, and I don't have your registration, or maybe you turned it in this morning. I was preaching for a friend who's on a mission trip in India, south of Orlando, and I appreciated being able to do that. And we had a great morning, but you might have turned that in this morning, and so I didn't get it. But if you haven't, I may come hunting you, all right? So get those turned in. We need to get that buttoned up as soon as we can. Final preparations are in the works. So if you will, we want to include you in on that. So get that to me as quickly as you can. Really, no later than next Sunday. No later than next Sunday. Otherwise, I may have to wrangle your spot out from underneath everything they have going on. Also, the church directory photos, there was an insert about that in your bulletin. Read through that. February 20th through 25th, going to get these photos made, so go ahead and be looking at carving out your spot and getting that. We need your face in there. We've got to have you. People are looking through there going, man, I know that name, or I heard somebody mention from the pulpit about a prayer request, and they go looking through their bulletin, and you're not there. They want to see you. They might just know your first name. You never know. It helps us all as a family, and this is the home place. It helps us all get to know one another better, stay in touch a little bit better. So if you will, do your part in regards to that as well. I believe Brother Tim's got a couple of announcements, if you will.
Well, as you saw that picture there online, I went and did that myself today for registering. They make that super easy, so you click on that circled part right there, and it'll take you right to the page, so right there, right underneath of Give Online. Directory sign up, and that'll be a great way to help you. That way you don't have to worry about going back out there. But if you are one who does not like to deal with all the electronic stuff, then you can go right to the back. But I tell you, the electronic is so simple and easy, it'll blow your mind. But anyways, I hope you'll do that, okay? All right. Well, I just want to thank each of you who gave towards the teenagers on Thursday night. What a blessing. And I look forward to hearing the amount on that. But I appreciate your support for the teenagers in that endeavor. And we're thrilled that they did such a wonderful job with that. And then Friday night, looking forward to our mall hunt with the teenagers. And this, I know we have some parents that are really excited. And if you didn't get a chance to sign up for that, please let me know tonight. I'm going to be giving instructions to those who are going to be helping us with that, some things that we need you to do for this. But I'll tell you, it will be a great time on Friday night. And parents will be leaving here at 6 o'clock and returning around 9:30. So we're looking forward to those things. Well, Brother David, come lead us in a song, sir.
Take your hymn books once again and stand. Turn to hymn number 434. Revive Us Again. Hymn number 434.
Revive us again.
know it. If you don't, it's called I Will Serve Thee. It's page 660 in your book. And it should be an expression of our heart. I will serve thee because I love thee. Thou hast given life to me. Let's sing it. Page 660 if you need it. If not, just sing it from our hearts now. Here we go.
I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me.
I was nothing.
I was nothing before you found me. You have given
good singing. Turn around and shake hands one with another. Make sure and meet the Lefevers over here. God bless you. Good to have you all here. God bless you. Heartaches, broken pieces. Here we go.
Heartaches, broken pieces. Ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch was what I longed for. You have given
singing. God bless you, and may be seated.
I failed to mention, search the scriptures this Saturday at 3, our discussion this Saturday at 3. Thank you.
Amen. All right. The ushers got a hold of a card of thanks from someone in the church. They thanking the church for the flowers and cards and calls and all that kind of thing. And Pastor Tim just told me about this card that someone handed them. And I'm sorry, we didn't know who it was from. They didn't have a name on the bottom. So people are very gracious and thankful. You know, it means so much. How many of you have been on the receiving end of cards or flowers? You've been in the hospital, visits, phone calls. You've been on the receiving end of that? I did it for years and years and years. And then I was in the hospital with viral meningitis. And I was sequestered as a pastor in West Virginia. And they had me in one of those rooms that you had to doll up in order to go in the room, you know what I'm saying? And they were afraid that I would spread that. And didn't know how I got it because no other cases in the surrounding counties. I was the only one. And it didn't spread to anyone else. It's highly contagious. And so it's just a weird deal. And here comes the pastor down the street, Mike Norris. Pastor down the street came walking in my my hospital room. Far from it. I only saw this much of him, but I heard his voice. And I tell you, tears welled up in my eyes that he would come and visit another pastor of another church. Wow. And so it just means the world if you've been in that. And so thank you so much for your faithfulness. Ushers, come on down, receive the offering. And some good news. Happy birthday to Igdalia Negron. Today's your birthday, Igdalia. Somebody told on you. I know. Happy birthday. God bless you. Amen. And I don't know that we mentioned this in the morning service. We probably mentioned it in Sunday school, but I needed to make sure that everyone knows. Please pray for Pavel Marinchenko and all of his family. Pavel and Lydia will be going out to California tomorrow, flying out there. Pavel's father went home to be with the Lord on Friday, and he's not suffering anymore. He's not sick anymore. And he's a great preacher of the Word of God and did a great work for the Lord there in Russia and continued to serve the Lord here in America and all of that. So reunited with his dear wife now. And so if you would, please be in prayer for the family. And some of you know what it's like all of a sudden to have to call up an airline and to get a ticket just 2 or 3 days away, and they stick you up for everything you're worth. And they know that they've got you, and what could have been gotten for $250 3 months ago is now $600 or $700. And you know, it might be a blessing. Wouldn't it be a great thing if we could help them with he and Lydia, he and his wife are going out there tomorrow. And there might be somebody that would say, you know, I'll help towards that. If you would, please see Pastor Aaron. Give it to him, okay? He'll make sure and get it to the Marinchenkos. And we'll look at that as a church. And if we need to add something to it, we'll add something to it as a church. But this would be a way, if God would lay it upon your heart. You might have an extra $5, might have an extra $20, might have a $50. I don't know. That you wouldn't perhaps miss. Maybe God would just lay on your heart. So if you would give that to Pastor Aaron tonight at the close of the service, that'd be a real blessing. Brother Conrad Westbrook, God bless you, sir. Come lead us in prayer if you would. Brother Conrad, we have tasked him with a job of focusing, targeting attention that he is giving. We're asking him to go after 15, 20 hours a week, whatever he can manage, to go follow up on as many folks from Journey Through Christmas as possible. He has seen hundreds himself, knocking on doors, just door after door after door after door, taking the bags and all that kind of thing. We have had visiting families here as a result of what this man's doing. And I'm so thankful for him and for what all God's doing through you, Brother Conrad, and FCA, and teaching Sunday school, and. God bless you, sir. Please in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we're just honored to be back in your house tonight. Thank you for this time that, Lord, we can come and worship you. And Lord, our hearts, that's the reason we come. I pray that's the reason we come. And if it's not, may we, Lord, even check our hearts right now that we don't come to be seen. We don't come just to socialize. Lord, we're here tonight to worship our risen Savior. So, Lord, I pray you'll bless this time, bless every aspect of the service. And, Lord, now in this special part of the service where we give back to you a portion of what you've given to us, Lord, just take what we give as a gift back to you. Lord, it's yours. You gave it to us first. And the reason we can give is because you've given it to us. Lord, may we not just be obedient givers. And, Lord, may we not even stop at being cheerful givers. Lord, I pray we'd all learn to be worshipful givers.
Yes.
Lord, as we worship you in giving back what you've given to us. So we thank you for that and the opportunity we have tonight to give. I pray you'll meet, Lord, the needs of this church. And I pray for the Marinchenko family, God, that you'll meet that need tonight. So, Lord, we just praise you and thank you. And, Lord, just have your will and way in the rest of this service. And we'll give you the honor and glory that is due unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you.
now, before Pastor Shears comes with the message tonight, we have Kara, Megan, and Emma Stoughton. And I think Michelle and Melissa are joining them. They're going to play and sing, Be Thou My Vision.
That's wonderful, ladies. Thank you so very much. Be thou my vision. It's important that we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was laid before him, I endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, ladies, so very, very much. As you turn your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. I don't know if you saw them on the way in, but we did have some outlines for you to kind of keep up with where we're going with this, so if so, that'll be a help to you. Our young people are going to a camp called Camp of the Wilds this summer, and one of the things when I went to Camp of the Wilds I never got to go as a teenager. There was one year that our youth group at our church went to the wilds. And I was a senior in high school, and I was working full time and trying to raise money for Bible college, and I just could not go. I heard about it, and even back then it was a little bit on the expensive side, And but when they got back, I heard about all kinds of things that I thought, man, I wish I would have gone. I wish I could have gone. And as a youth pastor, I took teenagers to the Camp of the Wild several times. And there's a thing that they have there called the Fourth Falls. Now, there's a series of waterfalls that they have back up in the mountains there on their properties. And they have the Third Falls, Second Falls, and Fourth Falls. Now, hiking to the Fourth Falls. Has anyone in here ever hiked to the Fourth Falls? Raise your hands. It's an item of pride. Okay, very good. Good, good. Amen. All right. It's not for the fainted heart, okay? And it's usually involving, well, especially for the youth pastors and the adults and things, usually involves some help. You know, you get to a certain point and you look and you say, hey, give me a hand for a second, you know, and just you can't quite make it to that next tree that's growing out of the side of the cliff. And you don't necessarily want to take an early plunge into the water down beneath. And so, you know, you have to have good footing and you have to stand strong, especially if you're going to reach down and help somebody else. You have to get a hold of where you're at and brace yourself and get a good footing and then grab their hand and then pull them. And if you don't have good footing and a good stance, then both of you could go over. That happens a lot of times in Christianity. There's some people that start discussing things about the Bible, start having what we call snack shop theology. Snack shop theology usually happens in a parking lot. It might happen at a coffee shop. It might happen, you know, at a dinner table and, you know, after eating and things. And we start talking about things we don't understand, and we start giving our own ideas instead of looking at what the Bible says, and we just snack shop theology. And if we're not careful, we might come up with something that sounds good to us, but just ain't so. And we're not standing on solid ground spiritually, scripturally. And so that's what this study is all about. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 says it this way. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. So there's a challenge for us as Christians that there's times you're going to be going against the current, times that we're going to be unpopular in a stance. And the world, and by the way, boy, I tell you, the media is really fanning the flames and trying their best to whip up every possible way of giving rise to folks that have poster boards and that kind of thing. It's amazing sometimes what the media will do. And I hope and pray that they're honest in their presentations, because a lot of times they're not in the mainstream media. But nonetheless, we need to be upright and standing firm upon the word of God. So this title, Stand Strong by Faith. Now, we're to just live by faith, and part of just living by faith is standing strong in our faith. Ephesians chapter 4, let's look please at verse 14. The Bible says that we henceforth be no more children. That means we need to grow up spiritually. Be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Say, well, that wouldn't happen. Someone wouldn't really try to deceive people. You know, there's a lot of people who have been deceived by the deceiver, and they really do have good intentions, but they have not checked it out with the Word of God. And they've gone on what some preacher said. They've gone on what some school said. They've gone on what some televangelist says. And they said it with such great authority and such great enthusiasm and, you know, and all this kind of thing that it must be right. Say something loud enough and long enough and strong enough, and chances are people will start to believe it. Why? Because we're children, the Bible says. We're gullible. And the Bible would not have us to be ignorant. The Bible would have us to be standing firm upon His precious Word. So, in this thought of 10 basic foundations, you might say, that we stand on as biblical Christians. Notice I did not say Baptists. Okay? I'm a biblical Christian. I attend a Baptist church. I'm a member of a Baptist church because that's the church that I find that is the closest to the Word of God. But I don't bow down at the Baptist church. I bow down to Jesus Christ. So denominations is not where it's at, folks. Jesus Christ, I heard somebody say one time, when you get to heaven, on the outside of the gates, before you enter in, there's a dumpster that says, deposit denominational tags here. That's not in the Bible. But if there was another denomination that I felt followed the Word of God more closely than this denomination, boy, I'd go there. But I can't find one, and so I'm here. And we're not perfect, folks. You know why? Because we're made up of people, human beings with a sinful nature. And so there's going to be some mistakes along the way. But praise God, we serve a perfect Savior and we have a perfect Scripture. And so let's stand on that. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray now that you would help us to stand firmly and gladly upon what you would have us to know. Lord, you revealed enough for us that we can be confident and we can be enthusiastic and we can be humble about our stand for you. Lord, I pray now that you would do a work in our hearts tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And so I encourage you, please, to look at these thoughts. Here they are. Number one, last time we met on the Sunday night study on this, we talked about that the Bible is God's book. We talked about how it was inspired by God. God breathed it. He spoke the words. That's what the word inspired means. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And then we talked about how accurate the Word of God is. Historical accuracy. Scientific accuracy. Everything that the Bible has said about astronomy. Everything the Bible has said about every area of science. It is, and medical and all those kinds of things. Leviticus 17:11, life of the flesh is in the blood, and all these things, how it's so accurate. And if it's God's book, then it would be accurate and it would be right. Medical journals are corrected as soon as they're published sometimes. Textbooks are changed as new things are discovered. Here's the difference. When God says something happened in history and man cannot verify that, just give them time. Because as they dig things out in archaeological digs, they're finding that the Word of God is verified over and over and over again. It's accurate. It's preserved. If this is God's book, if the precious Word of God is God's book, inspired by God, then He has promised to preserve it, even though people have tried to stamp it out and burn it, destroy it, and outlaw it, and all that kind of thing. It has been preserved. So the Bible is God's book. Secondly, we looked at Jesus Christ as God's Son. So seven words or less, this is where you stand. The Bible is God's Word, and Jesus Christ is God's Son. We looked at last time, just a little bit of this, how that the deity of Jesus Christ as God's Son is borne out in that He is the Creator. Only God can create. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that he made all things, and by Him all things consist, speaking specifically of Jesus Christ. He is the Creator. His virgin birth, we talked about this, Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. This is important. It's important because, you see, if He was born of natural birth, if He was born of a man and a woman, of the way that all of us were born, then that sinful nature would have been passed on from Adam all down through the fathers, all the way down through, and that sinful nature would have been passed on down. But you see, the precious blood that was in Jesus Christ was sinless blood. He did not have that sinful nature. He did not have the blood that was passed on through the man and through the Father. He was born of the Spirit, and so his virgin birth. And my friend, people attack that and mock that. But you take away the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, you take away his deity. And then Jesus himself said, I give you one sign to prove that I am who I say I am, that I am the Son of God. And that was that I lay my life down and I have power to take it up again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 says that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the resurrection from the dead. This was the proof. This is the one thing that sets him apart from every other religious founder in all of the world, in all of history, is that we serve a risen Savior. And take that away, and you take away his deity. My friend, those are unnegotiable truths of God's holy word. Stand on that firmly. Jesus Christ is God's Son. The Bible is God's book. Do you have those? Number three. Salvation is by God's grace. Turn to the book of Romans, please, chapter 10 in your Bibles. Romans chapter 10. This is a great chapter. Romans is a terrific book in talking about salvation. Chapter 3, of course, reminds us that as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In spite of our sin, God commendeth, he showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And even though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the question comes, how does someone get saved? They have to hear the truth. They have to hear the good news. That's why we send missionaries around the world. Now, you say, are the heathen really lost? That's a whole another message, but the answer is yes. Yes. Is there any way for them to be saved? Through Jesus Christ, yes. What if they never hear about Jesus Christ? My friend, I want you to understand something. God reveals himself, as we're going to see in these verses, God reveals himself through creation, through nature. And he tells, even in the darkest jungles of Africa, behind the iron curtain or the bamboo curtain or wherever the case may be, there are people who say, you know, I understand there is a God. And they're worshiping something somewhere. And then there are some who respond to that light and they say, you know, I don't believe that cow is God. I don't believe that the sun that we see come up every day is God. There's a real personal God. I don't know who he is, but I want him. The omnipotent God is able to get them the truth and able to send someone with the gospel. We see that in history over and over again, where God detoured a servant of God somewhere along the way. God sent someone to someone who was searching for the truth. God is able to do that. He knows the hearts. Salvation is by God's grace. Here's this thought, truth. Romans 10, verse 17. Do you see it, verse 17? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're going to point someone to Christ, you're going to lead them to salvation, make sure that you bring their attention to the precious word of God. When folks come forward here, we make sure that our altar workers take the Bible and show them verses from the Bible. Because they might not remember a whole lot, you know. It's kind of a nerve-wracking thing. God's dealing with their heart. They feel like they're having a heart attack. What do I do? No, that's God speaking to me. I need to be saved. And they come forward. And they don't really remember a whole lot about the message. They don't even remember the name of the person who dealt with them there. But they remember something. They remember them taking the Bible and opening it up and showing them a couple of verses in the Word of God. And they believed what God said in the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They must have truth. Secondly, they must repent. They must repent. If you're there in Romans, hold your place. If you want to turn to Acts chapter 20, read one verse for you. Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. We have John the Baptist preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We have Jesus saying, "Except they repent, they shall all likewise perish." And then in the book of Acts, verse 21, we find testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you say repentance, that's not a work, by the way. That's not a work. That's not doing something. That's acknowledging that I'm a sinner, that I am running away from God, that my sin has taken me to a devil's hell, and I want to change my mind and turn to Jesus and say, "I need you to save me." That change of mind is repentance. That's the problem with this thing of easy believism. Y'all want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. Pray this prayer. Oh, amen. See, I had people raise. You want to go to heaven? Yeah, I want to go. Next trip? No, but I'll go. And, you know, there's a lot of people that really want to do a good thing. My dear wife got caught up in that when she was a little one. There was a dear lady there in her neighborhood, and she had a backyard Bible club. I think it's a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. And it was in the summertime, and she had a backyard Bible club. And my wife, you know, a little girl at the time, she attended that backyard Bible club, and she did something like that. "You want to go to heaven? Pray this prayer." And she was sincere, and she prayed the prayer. She didn't understand that she was a sinner. She didn't ask Jesus to forgive her sins. "I want to go to heaven, Lord," you know. And she grew up placing her faith on that moment. Now, God knows her heart. I'm not saying, you know, one way or the other. She taught Sunday school. She led people to Christ. She was involved in her church, in her school, and a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. If there was ever a good Christian girl, it was Hope Burnside. That's why I picked her. I wanted her to be my wife later on. We talked, and this is a kind of a long story, but I'll just say this, that she got to a point there that after we were married that she wondered whether or not that she was really saved. And I said, "Well, take me back to when you trusted Christ as your Savior." Shame on me. I mean, I dated her. I asked her to marry me. I married her, and I had never talked with her. It was obvious in her life that she was a Christian. Why do I need to find? No. So I said, "Tell me about when you got saved." And she told me. And I said, "Did you repent of your sin? Did you see yourself as a sinner and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins?" She looked at me. She said, "I don't remember. I don't know." I said, "That could be an important element right there. It could be that God is speaking to your heart because He wants to make sure that this is settled and this is clear and no doubt and all that kind of thing." About 4 weeks later, on a Sunday night service, at the invitation time when our pastor was preaching, she was the youth pastor's wife. She said, "I want to settle it tonight. I want to know for sure and settle it. I can't deal with this." After church, we went to my office. We knelt down there. And I said, "Hope, whatever you did as a child, you've got to just come to the Lord right now as if you've never been saved. You know exactly what to do. You know what to pray. You need to come to Him once and for all and settle it right here tonight. Not anything about that. You know what you're doing now." And she did. And boy, she prayed and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive her of her sins, come into her heart and life, be her Savior. She's trusting Him and Him alone and take her to heaven. I mean, she preached in her prayer. She got done. She had a peace in her life. She got up and she got baptized that next Sunday. Told what God had done in her heart and how glad she was that it was settled. She'd repented of her sins and asked Jesus Christ to be her Lord and Savior. There were some 28, 28 people over the next 3 weeks. They said, I've been dealing with the same thing in my seat, in my heart. And the fact that the youth pastor's wife is willing to admit that, boy, it sparked a revival like I had never seen. Repentance. It's important for salvation. And then believe. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that confessing, say the same thing as, that's implying that repentance, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. What did the Apostle Paul say to the Philippian jailer? He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Say, well, why didn't he say about the repentance? Because he saw that that jailer had already come to that point. He saw that. It was obvious. He was broken. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Settle it. My friend, if you're not saved, if you don't know for sure, if you don't have a Bible reason, if you're not settled on this thing, you better nail it down. Time is short. The trumpet could call. You know, we had the little phone thing going off, warning, you know, some kind of emergency going. Do what? Tornado warning. I've got a rapture warning. Or rapture watch, one of the two. By the way, there is some disagreement on this. But according to God's word, God will send strong delusion to those that do not go in the rapture. If they understood, clearly understood the gospel and rejected it and said, no, 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 they'll believe the lie and they won't be saved. They had their chance. There'll be thousands and millions who will be saved during the tribulation period. But not folks who had the chance. That's scary. Look it up, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Anyway, salvation is by God's grace. His truth, we repent and we believe in Him. It's not complicated. Salvation is by God's grace. The Bible is God's book. Jesus Christ is God's Son. Salvation is by God's grace. These are just simple, not big theological dissertations about doctrine. Simple, seven words or less. Number four, God is revealed in three persons. God is revealed in three persons. If you're jotting these down, that's about as simple as we can deal with that. God's revealed in three persons. Now, this thought, turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Look at verse number 7, 1 John 5:7. The Bible says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Notice that the Word is capitalized. If you remember in John chapter 1, the same person that God used to pen the Gospel of John also is penning the Epistle of John, and he's tying these two together. In the beginning was the Word. Verse 14 of John 1 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was Jesus Christ. He was the ultimate compilation of all truth and all philosophy and everything that man searches for. He is the fulfillment of that. He is the Logos. He is the Word. So the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, these three. God's revealed in three persons. We see in Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, that His existence, the existence of God. And I mentioned that earlier. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Who's they? The ones who rejected Jesus Christ. The ones who perhaps even didn't have Volusia County Baptist Church down the street. The ones who even didn't have a gospel radio station. The ones in India that maybe no one has reached. God says that they will have no excuse, that God Himself has made sure to get the light of the truth to them. And they rejected it. That's what God says. I can't explain it. His existence and His equality. And we just mentioned about 1 John 5:7. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Father. Jesus Christ is just as much God. The triune God, T-R-I-U-N-E. The triune God. That word triune is not found in the Bible, but the principle and the truth is. In other words, three in one. In Genesis, we find that in our English Bible, in our English translation, in the King James Version, the Bible says, let us make man in our image. And the name for God, Elohim, that is plural. That is the plural form of the word God. And so even if you did not understand Hebrew and all that kind of thing, and very few people do, even in our translation that we use, the translation was so honest and careful to make it clear and to be honest to what the text truly says. The equality. And then the eternal nature of God. God's revealed in three persons. He's eternal. Genesis 1:21, verse 33. That Abraham called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. The name of the Lord, Jehovah, the everlasting God. God is revealed in three persons. Can I fully explain the Trinity? Absolutely not. There's no way. We can illustrate it, but never explain it. Everything that we would illustrate with are things that we can grasp. Things that we can see, things that we can touch and handle. And so it falls way short of describing who God is. People have tried to describe it, how that water is still water, is still H2O. If it's in the freezer in the form of an ice cube, or if you take the ice cube and you put it in a pan and it melts, then it's liquid in a liquid form. Or if you turn on a stove and heat it up, now it's mist. As a mist form, you know, but it's still H2O. They try to use that as an example about to illustrate the triune God. It falls way short. And many other types of illustrations that try to help people grasp and understand. Folks, if we could understand God, He would no longer be God to us. There are things that our five-year-olds, when they're growing up, and when they're 5 years old, they're not going to understand things that we understand that we have to do. We're the parent. And so we have to just accept some things by faith. And that's one of the things that's taught in the Word of God. And I'm thankful that Jesus Christ is God. I'm thankful the Holy Spirit is God. I'm thankful that when the Holy Spirit indwells us. And that's the next and the last point here tonight is that God's Spirit dwells in all believers. Here they are. Number one, the Bible is God's book. Number two, Jesus Christ is God's Son. Number three, salvation is by God's grace. Number four, God is revealed in three persons. Number five, God's Spirit dwells in all believers. I want you to understand that. God's Spirit dwells in all believers. New Testament believers. What's not true of the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, the payment for sin had not been made. The promise of payment was coming, but Jesus had not yet died on the cross. And so the Holy Spirit could not indwell a sinful creature, a sinful human being. He could not dwell with sin. So it was not until Jesus had died on the cross, had presented His blood upon the mercy seat in heaven, and He came back, and when He went there in the upper room, the disciples were huddled together, fearing for their life. And He appeared to them in that upper room through the locked door. He said, fear not, it is I, be not afraid. And the Bible says in John chapter 20 that he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now that was the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why Jesus said, as God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are one in the same. And so when he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," his Spirit is within us. And he, when he ascended to the Father, we had his Spirit still within us. That's why he could say, "I'll never leave you." Because the Holy Spirit is God. Now, the indwelling is what happens at the point of salvation. And this is another message. But the filling of the Spirit of God, that is for service. The filling of the Spirit of God, that is when the nature of Jesus Christ is seen through our life, our reactions. When he begins to change our personality. There's some of you who, when before you got saved, your friends and your wife and those, you know, if they knew you before you were saved, that they might say about you, "Boy, now he had a temper. He would fly off the handle. He had a short fuse. I mean, you had to walk on eggshells around him. He's really changed. Jesus Christ has made him into a new creature." What's happened is Jesus Christ has been shining through in his life. The Word of God has helped him strengthen that mature walk with the Lord. God's Spirit dwells in all believers. Here's three things he does. First, he seals every believer. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." He seals us, secures us. In other words, we don't have to worry when we're stamped by Almighty God. The tempter cannot take us to hell. Our sins are paid for, and we bear the mark of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts and our souls. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. As a result of him indwelling, the verse tells us, don't grieve he who indwells you. In the things that we do, in the things that we choose to do, we can grieve him. Secondly, not only seals us, he teaches us. John 14, 26, "But the Comforter," the Bible describes him. I want you to look at this verse. Turn with me, please, to John 14, verse 26. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit knows how to comfort us? He knows what's going on in our life. Have you ever tried to explain to somebody what's going on and you couldn't put it into words? I'm so glad the Holy Spirit knows our heart and knows our thoughts. The Comforter. Verse 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." Before this is before the cross. "Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." We go out knocking on doors on Tuesday evenings. The first Saturday of every month, we have Feet to Faith. In other words, put your faith into action. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, wonderful. Won't you share it? Feet to Faith. And we do that once a month. And we had a marvelous turnout in the rain last time, the first Saturday in January. We're going to do it again the first Saturday in February, 10 o'clock that morning. And but on Tuesday nights, we knock on doors. And right now, we've been following up on Journey Through Christmas, folks. Before that, we were trying to invite new families that have moved to our area. Some of you believe the excuses that the devil would throw into your mind. You know, don't you do that. You'd be an embarrassment to the Lord. You won't know the right things to say. And other people, they know the Bible better than you do. And let them handle that. You just can't. Listen, folks, here's what I've found. I have found that when I go and I stumble and maybe someone asks me a question that I wasn't ready for and I didn't have the answer and I feel like I struck out. You know what that makes me want to do? I go back to my Bible and I say, I got to find out the answer to that. And I dig and I study and I learn more. It's kind of like I got squeezed. Have you ever washed a car before? And you got a sponge? And when that sponge, it can only take in so much water, and then it can't take in any more. You can fill it up with water and dip it out in, but if you take it out of the water and then you wring it out, it can soak up a whole lot more. And then do it again and wring it out. Here's what happens. When we come into church and we're in Sunday school classes and we're hearing the Word of God taught, when we've gotten pummeled by somebody, and spiritually, if we didn't have the right answers, we come to church hungry, thirsty for the Word of God. I want to know some things. But you know, when we're just floating along in the water and not doing anything for God,
we got all the answers. We don't need anything. Our sponge is full.
How in the world do you not know all those things? You're just not getting squeezed. Amen. Let God squeeze you. It's okay. It'll be a good thing. He seals us. He teaches us. And last, He gifts us. He gives us gifts. And the gifts are not for us to play with. The gifts are for us to serve with. The gifts are something that is beyond our talent. It's beyond our personality. It's beyond our ability or our heredity. Beyond our natural abilities. It's something that God gives. It's something that something just takes over as you're serving God. And you're able to do it with success. And you step back and you say, how did that happen? Well, God gave you a gift to do that. And there's lots of them. The Word of God talks about them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 14, Romans chapter 12, and many passages talks about the spiritual gifts. And the Holy Spirit imparts these to us severally as He will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4, there's many diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And that's a whole other message as well about the spiritual gifts. You know why a lot of people aren't serving God? Because they have not realized, first of all, that God has gifted them and expecting them to use that gift for His work. And then secondly, they don't have a clue what it is, and they're not taking any steps to discover it. You know, there have been times when I've been building something that I needed to mark a cut on a board. And I had measured it out. I have my little tape measure, got my little tool belt, and got my tape measure right here. And I put the tape measure back in there, in front of my belt. I've got my skill saw. I've got everything ready to go. I've got my square. I drew my line. Where's my pencil? And I look all over the place. Yep, you got it. Where is it? Right behind my ear. I didn't even know it. And I'm getting frustrated because I can't find the crazy pencil. And I've got it all the time. You know, Christians sometimes are trying to serve God in their own strength. And when they've got exact tool that's needed that God wanted them to use, they would do a great job, and He's gifted them with it, and they don't even know where it's at. The Spirit of God, He indwells all believers. All believers. There are some people who would want you to believe that you have to go out and do something really special, some great journey with God as a Christian in order to get the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, they're a little bit confused on something. A little bit confused on it. When you got saved, you got all the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get. Okay? But what they're not getting across correctly to you,
And perhaps what they mean is this, that we have to get to the place that the Holy Spirit gets all of us. And that can sometimes be a journey. That can sometimes be a point of surrender. That can be a breaking point in our life. We say, Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to have my all in all. And that can be a pivotal moment, yes. But it's not about more of the Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit having more of us. So I hope that you can stand firm. And if there's any place you better stand firm, it's on your salvation. You better have that settled. Nothing else will fit. Nothing else will work. You're going to be on the outside looking in. And you're going to be missing it. And you're going to feel like it just something just doesn't fit in my life. And perhaps God is letting you feel that way to help you realize that somewhere along the line, you filled out a card, but you didn't get saved. You got dunked underwater, but you didn't get saved. Is that spiritual birth? Is that something that's nailed down in your life? I trust it is. And if not, before it's too late, settle it. Oh, no, I'm too scared to do that. Everybody thinks I'm a Christian. I've been in this church for years. I'm 55 years old. I'm 19 years old. I've preached the Word of God. Hey, listen, wouldn't it be awful to be a member of Volusia County Baptist Church and spend eternity in a devil's hell? That would be a tragedy. Where do you stand on your salvation? Let's bow our heads together, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Stand firm. Quit you like men, be strong. If your salvation is not strong and anchored, why not settle it tonight? Why not? What's keeping you? If you were to die tonight on the way home, do you have a Bible reason why you know that you're going to heaven? If you don't, you better have that settled before you leave. I'm serious. I wonder if there's someone who would be honest and own up to this and say, God is dealing with my heart. He's giving me another chance to be saved and to settle it. I'm embarrassed. I don't know what happened in my life, but I do not want to go another day without being sure about this. God is dealing with me, and I don't want to push him away. Brother Mark, please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up and put it back down? Let me pray with you and for you. God answers prayer. You say, preacher, I need to know that it is settled before it's too late. Pray for me. Slip your hand up and take it down. I'm just looking. I'm looking. This must mean that, yes, God bless you, ma'am. Yes, God bless you, young man. Amen. I see that. Are there others? Praise God. Thank you for your honesty. I'll not embarrass you, I promise. How many would say, Brother Mark, me too. Me too. I need to settle this. I may have been saved before, but the problem is I don't know. I don't know. I'm missing that piece. Things aren't fitting in my life, and I believe it's because God's telling me I need to settle this. Are there others? Say, Brother Mark, I need to be saved and know it and settle it. Anyone else? Anyone else besides these? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Here's what I want you to do. If you're a Christian, you please pray right now. Please pray. Because there's a battle going on. And there's at least two people, at least, that would like to settle this tonight. If you raised your hand a moment ago, I'm going to invite you in just a second when the music starts to play to come down here and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. We won't embarrass you. We want to help. We want to point you to Jesus. And we want you to nail this salvation upon the precious Word of God. Would you let us help you tonight? We're not going to drag you to the altar. You've got to come willingly. That'll be your expression to God saying, yes, I want Jesus. I want to know that I'm saved. Heavenly Father, I pray for these two dear souls that raised their hand and said, yes, I need to be saved and know it. I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Lord, I pray for for this dear lady. I pray for that young man. And Lord, maybe others in a room this size. I would be shocked if everyone has this settled and secured in their heart and their life. It would be a great thing if they do, but I'd be surprised. So Lord, I pray that you would move on their hearts as well. Help them to take the first step towards you. And Lord, you'll help them with the rest. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and no one's looking. I'd love to help you, but you need to take the first step to the Lord. We're going to all stand. We're going to all have our heads bowed. And when we stand, would you who raised your hand take the first step to the Lord? Just come right down here to the altar. We'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved tonight and settle it right now tonight. You decide right now, I'm going to go. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go. Let's all stand together, please, and you come on. As Brother David sings, would you come right now? Have fun. Come on. Come on. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. That's right. Amen. Come on. Come on, young man. Come on, lady. God bless you. We love you. God loves you. Meet you right down here. A lady will pray with you. Youth pastor will pray with you. Christian, I hope that you're interceding on God's throne. Amen. Come on, let us be a blessing to you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. The lady over here. Amen. How about you, young man? How about you, sir? How about you, mom? Granddad? Tonight? Won't you settle this between you and the Lord? That's right. Amen. Amen. Our youth pastor's right here. He's coming. God bless you guys. God bless your hearts. Amen. Need another man to help, if you would, please. This is what it's all about, folks. Pointing people to Jesus Christ. Sing it. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine way. Thou art the potter, the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still. Waiting, yielded and still. God's still working. Sing the next verse. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine. Search me and try me. Search me and try me. Master, today, whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence. Oh, this is sweet, folks. Keep playing, if you will. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Please pray. Pray for these that are receiving Christ as their Savior tonight. I hope you stand firm on your salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us deserve it. None of us earn it. No, it's all by grace, through faith. Pray for someone that you know that needs to be saved. Right now, call their name out to the Lord. Might be someone you work with. Might be someone you go to school with. Might be somebody that's in your family that needs to be saved. Call their name out to the Lord right here, right now. And plead with God that they be saved. Say, well, she'll never get saved. Oh, no, no, no. No, God's able. God's able. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just have a seat quietly right there as she continues to play? Can we have a seat right there quietly? God bless you. Dear Lord Jesus, we lift you high. We magnify your name. We glorify you for all that you're doing in our hearts and our lives, in this church. Lord Jesus, thank you that your word is powerful. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I thank you, Lord, for these dear folks that have said, yes, I want Jesus in my life more than anything. I want his way of salvation. Lord, I pray that you would settle that in their heart and their life. May the Holy Spirit indwell them to the point of their salvation when they ask, call upon the name of the Lord, and Lord, that they're saved. Lord, change their life, I pray. Thank you for what you're going to do now. We look up this way, and folks are still being dealt with, but it is a thrill and a joy to introduce to you a wonderful couple here. And this is Brian and Nancy Constantine, and they've been here to the church on several occasions. And Brian works out of town in Ocala, I think, throughout the week, and but they've been here on Sundays, and they made it here on Thursday night for the banquet and all. And they nailed down their salvation for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thankful for you, Brian and Nancy. And you have a church here to be praying for you. God bless you. We love you. Amen. And we got a couple of young men over here. Amen. And this is Zach Alston and David Alston. Is that right?
Yeah.
Which one's Zach? Yeah. Zach, okay. God bless you, Zach. And David, God bless you. I know you were helping with the serving the food, weren't you, on Thursday night? Yeah, both of them were. Wonderful. That's great. And What did y'all do here tonight?
I called upon the Lord to help save me.
Amen. I don't know if you heard that or not, but he said he called upon the Lord to save him tonight.
Amen.
Amen. God bless your heart, David. Is that what you did too?
Yeah.
Amen. And not just because he said it, right?
No.
Amen. Well, God bless your heart, Zach. Amen. Well, I'm rejoicing for these four wonderful souls, and I trust that you are too. And you've got a whole church family that loves you. And we do something around here, Nancy, Brian, and Zach, and David. We sing to people when they get saved, you know, because it's your birthday. It's your spiritual birthday. You have now two birthdays. You know that? Today's your birthday, January 22nd, 2017, your spiritual birthday. So we don't sing happy birthday, but we sing another song. It goes like this. Welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to this family of God. We're your brothers, we're your sisters. Come on in. Welcome to the family of God. And if you don't mind, our people like to physically welcome you. They like to shake your hand. They're not going to embarrass you. Not going to do anything like that. But I'm going to ask if you would, if you all would stand up here with them, and they're going to come by and shake hands. Let's all stand together, please. Let's all stand up. Zach and David, come on over here. Pastor Tim, stand by them if you will. And we're so thankful for you. Now, tell you what we'll do. We're going to let these strong guys here stand, and we're going to let Nancy have a seat. She's been going through a lot of physical problems. She's just going to have a seat right here, and people are going to come by and just get to meet you here. Is that okay? Okay. All right. Very good. Brian, you just sit right there with her. And I do trust you. We'll be back on Thursday night. Tuesday night, we do knock on doors and trying to round up the strays of Journey Through Christmas, people who got saved. So come and meet us at 6:30 if you can, Tuesday evening. And otherwise, we'll see you back here Thursday night. Don't get blown away out there in tornadoes, okay? But God is he's the master of the winds, the master of the sea. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for meeting with us tonight. I pray now that you'll be pleased as we serve you this week. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Voices of Victory, and those who auditioned for Voices of Victory, I need to see you back in the choir room. Thank you. God bless you. Come meet these dear folks. Shake hands with them.